let's recite together. Sanjayo vacha evam uktva rishikesham gurakesha parantapa nyayotsya iti govindam yuktva tusmin bhuva bhuha babuha
babuha
Okay, let's do it again.
Sanjaya uvacha evam yuktva rishikesham gudakesha parantapa nayotsya iti govindam yuktva tushmim bhuvah.
Okay, what is here? Some names are there, right? Hrishikesha, what is the definition of Hrishikesha?
Control of the
senses, owner of the senses. Gudakesha, who is Gudakesha? Arjuna, right?
Arjuna. Who is Parantapa?
Parantapa.
Who is called Parantapa?
Arjuna.
Arjuna is Parantapa. What does that mean?
The one who
conquers the enemies.
Chastiser of the enemies or conqueror of the enemies.
Who is Govinda? Krishna, one gives pleasure to cows and senses. Yeah.
Sanjaya said, having spoken thus, Arjuna, chastiser of enemies, told Krishna, Govinda, I shall not fight, and fell silent. Dhritarashtra must have been very glad to understand that Arjuna was not going to fight and was instead leaving the battlefield for the begging profession. But Sanjaya disappointed him again in relating that Arjuna was competent to kill his enemies, Parantapa, although Arjuna was, for the time being, overwhelmed with false grief due to family affection, he surrendered unto Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, as a disciple. This indicated that he would soon be free from the false lamentation resulting from the family affection and would be enlightened with perfect knowledge of self-realization or Krishna consciousness and would then surely fight. Thus, Dhritarashtra's joy would be frustrated since Arjuna would be enlightened by Krishna and would fight to the end.
So it's nicely explained, right? Like it's clear, so clear, like me. So Dhritarashtra had a false hope. Now when Arjuna said that, he thought they will get the kingdom, right? Kauravas will get the kingdom. So, but then that's why Arjuna is called Parantapa, because he can kill all the enemies, or, you know, chastiser of the enemies. So then again, you know, that's why Sanjaya is pointing that particularly, he's pointing that Parantapa, he will overcome that grief and he will fight.
Does this Rashtra also know all these names of Krishna, I mean, of Arjuna and like Parantapa, or is it something that
he should be knowing it in Sanskrit. Sanjay is telling Dhritarashtra in Sanskrit only, I think.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So why, by saying Parantapa, what does Sanjaya mean? Like, what's the significance basically? Arjuna is right now stuck in grief. But Sanjaya is giving a indication about future. Based on what? Based on current, some action Arjuna did now. What is that?
Previously.
So he surrendered to Krishna, Supreme Spiritual Master. So soon his lamentation is going to go away and he is going to fight the enemies. So that is, with that confidence, Sanjaya is saying Parantapa again. Even though Arjuna right now looks like as if, you know, he's helpless, he's basically, you know, lost person. But he's saying, but still is Parantapa, because he is going to regain his own strength again. That's what Sanjaya is meaning. Actually, this reminds me of one incident. Basically, the principle about spiritual life, we always discuss so many times. How, basically we call, right, ripe mango and the raw mango. Did we ever discuss this analogy?
No.
No? So, essentially, in the spiritual life, the principle is about sincerity, right? It's not about what things we are achieving at this point. It's all about sincerity, and it's just matter of time. So, same point here, it's just matter of time, Arjuna's lamentation is going to go away. Because he started surrendering, right? He started surrendering, just matter of time, his lamentation is going to go away, and he's going to come into full glory. So similarly, initially when we start with spiritual life, we have so many conditionings, so many things, right? We feel, you know, we are nowhere. We feel as if like, we know the goal, okay, I want to go there, but feel it's so far away, and you, how to make these baby steps. And we sometimes feel frustrated or feel like disappointed. But then this concept will, essentially the principle that Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. Bhakta Vatsala is?
One who comes to the aid of his
devotees. One who takes care of his devotees. So that principle, and that Krishna sees the essence, which is sincerity, that gives us hope that it's just a matter of time, I'm going to be successful in devotional life. And another related point is when Srila Prabhupada came to US for the first time, so he came alone, right, all alone, and he sat in one garden. Do you know the garden, Prabhu?
It's in New York, Park Square.
Park, right? Alone, and he was just chanting on his own, and then people were coming like that. So once he sat on a bench, oh, Sangeeta Mataji read the, is all okay, Prabhu? Some banner came. Hope she is seeing, right? So Sangeeta Mataji read Leela Amrita, she would relate to this. So Prabhupada sat there, and some visitor came and he said, okay, who are you? Why did you come here? You know, what is your purpose? He said, I came here to establish temples. Then he said, oh, do you have anything? He said, yeah, I have so many temples all over the world. He said, oh, really, you have? Then Prabhupada said, yeah, I have, just time is separating them. So that is just, he just landed in US. He had so much faith in the instruction of his spiritual master that I'm going to stick to it, and it's just going to result in success. So that whenever we feel like that, disappointed, we should, you know, help ourselves again and again with these points to encourage us in spiritual life. So similarly here, Arjuna, Sanjay is saying, this time is separating. By the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is going to get up and fight.
We'll go to text 10. Any questions on text 9? Go to text 10.
Tam uvacha Rishikesha prahasam iva bharatam senayor ubayor madhye vishitantam idam vacha. Tam uvacha Rishikesha prahasam iva bharatam senayorubayor madhye vishitantam idam vacha.
O descendant of Bharata, at that time Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. Purport. The talk was going on between intimate friends, namely the Rishikesha and Kulakesha. As friends, both of them were on the same level, but one of them voluntarily became a student of the other. Krishna was smiling because a friend had chosen to become a disciple. As Lord of all, he is always in the superior position as the master of the everyone. And yet the Lord agrees to be a friend. A son or a lover for a devotee who wants him in such a role. But when he was accepted as the master, he at once assumed the role and talked with the disciple like the master, with gravity, as it is required. It appears that the talk between the master and the disciple was openly exchanged in the prince's presence of the both armies, so that all were benefited. So the talk of Bhagavad Gita are not for any particular person, society or community, but they are for all, and friends or enemies are equally entitled to hear them.
So.
So why is Krishna smiling here?
Now he has become a disciple.
So friend has chosen to become his disciple. That's why Krishna is smiling. So that word is Prahasan. It's Prahasan smiling.
And also it is said that there is one more reason also for Krishna smiling. Can anybody think of it? Anything? So he was just talking, right? So it may be just few minutes or maybe few minutes back, Arjuna was very into, right? He was so determined to fight. That's what he asked Krishna to get his chariot, right?
Actually, that's what I was saying. Senyo Rubayor Madhye, this term came earlier. Does anybody remember? Yeah. When did it come?
When Arjuna told Krishna to take the chariot so that he can see the
rainbow. Yeah, please take this chariot in between the two armies so I can see who has come to fight with me.
So he was so into and he was so determined. It was just few minutes back, right? They were talking. But now it changed. He doesn't want to fight now. He is giving up, right? So Krishna is thinking what happened in that few minutes of time. So that's one reason Krishna is smiling. He was so into on this thing, now he is giving up. So that's one more reason Krishna is putting his smile.
So another point Srila Prabhupada is telling in the purport is like very philosophical point, that as Lord he is always in a superior position as a master of everyone. Yet Lord agrees to be a friend, a son or a lover of a devotee who wants him in such a role. So it doesn't mean when we see the Lord in such roles, we should think of him as an ordinary person. Lord is always a Lord, transcendental Lord, but he chooses to be like that just to facilitate that loving relationship with the devotees who wants to exchange that rasa with him. Like especially last month, Kartik month, right, we celebrated Krishna being born by Yashoda Mata. If you see the picture is still there, right? Like if you see Yashoda Mata is like catching with a stick and is tying Krishna. If we don't know about transcendental position of Krishna, we may think it's like yet another small child. But even as a small child, many times he exhibited super excellent pastimes. But Mother Yashoda has so much love for Krishna, but she always used to overlook them. It's like, oh, I think maybe I'm seeing something today. It's like that. Such is the potency of Yogamaya. Yogamaya covers their view of opulence of Krishna so that they can treat him as son, friend, lover, like that. So but still, Lord remains the Lord.
Without the yoga maya, you cannot really exchange the real love, right? Like if you want to really exchange the rasa or whatever, that pastime, if you know the Krishna is the supreme and if he exhibits all the opulences, you cannot really exchange as a mother. She will not get the same the pleasure.
Necessary.
Yeah.
No, it's like you will be trembling, right? Oh, some, such a great person. It's like, one example is given, one minister, he was at office and somebody wanted to meet him. He took appointment, everything, but minister was not coming out. Then somebody peeked in and saw that actually his grandson was on his back and he was doing horsey, the minister. So one mood is of awe and reverence, like from outside office people see this minister as like, he's such a boss, we have to and submit to him and we have to listen whatever he says. But he is actually subservient to his own grandchild because of that love. So love takes precedence over and also actually same thing will happen later on where after some time in 11th chapter Krishna shows his universal form to Arjuna. Then by the end of all of it Arjuna becomes so terrified. He says, oh, this form is so bewildering, I can't even imagine. It's so ghastly. He says it's ghastly. Ghastly means very fearful. So what he sees is like so many heads, so many mouths, so many hands. Everybody is going inside. It's like death personified. It's so terrible. That's the description is given. And then at the end of it, Arjuna says, okay, this I cannot see anymore. Can you please show me your Saumya Rupa? Which is like, more pleasing to devotees. Then, imagine Arjuna having a rasa of friendship with universal form. Right? How it's that the whole thing will be done. You cannot even express. So,
then the other point is the second sentence Prabhupada says, as friends, both of them were on the same level, but one of them voluntarily became a student of the other. So, the spirituality is all about voluntary. We, right? You cannot force anybody. So that's spiritual life is all about volunteer. If you volunteer, you take it. But the material life, it's forced. If you think, right?
It's forced.
If you
no
think,
choice.
Right? No choice. We don't have any choice. We'll be forced to act, right? Every step actually. You are always under force. Somebody, you know, kind of putting force.
See, that's the contradictory thing. No, in material life, we think we are independent, but we are completely dependent. But the moment we depend on Krishna, we'll slowly become independent. Independent of what?
Material things.
Independent of modes of material nature. So they will, because otherwise they are pulling, right? We have the diagram. Three ropes are pulling this person everywhere, right? So we are bound completely. Though we think independent, you know, I can sleep in. People usually, you know, who sleep anytime, get up anytime, they think, oh, I'm actually free, you know, by my choice, I'm sleeping at a particular time, getting any time, getting up any time. They think, you know, it's freedom. But actually, it's all bound by mode of ignorance, right? So, but on the other hand, if you submit to Krishna, which is so-called losing independence, we become independent of the modes. So that is the...
That's the real freedom.
Real freedom. That's why Prabhupada calls this four regulative... We know about these four regulative principles, right? What are they? Four regulative principles we follow.
No intoxication, no gambling, and no excesses.
So these four principles Prabhupada called as four regulative principles of freedom. Not a four regulative principles of restriction. Like, you know, don't do this. So it's said like no, no, no. But by following this, you will attain freedom. Freedom from bondage of material world. It may feel like, you know, giving up coffee is such a such a burden. It's like, you know, I'm so attached to it and, you know, I have to pull myself away. But once we do that, we will be free from that pull. So that's it. Analogy.
That's because if we are dependent on something so much, if that thing is not there, we feel that we are missing it, right? So if we are used to not being there, it's there, it's not there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Practically, the dependence on that thing loses.
Yes.
And then we feel...
Practically, we do it by developing dependence on Krishna.
Yeah.
We have to replace with something. So then we do that. We cultivate attachment to Krishna. Then our attachment to material things slackens. Okay. Automatically slackens. Like some of you, you know, some people who have been coming for some time or practicing to some extent can say, right? Some incidents in your own life, how it changed. Maybe we can do that little brainstorming. Some incidents, you know, previously it used to bother you, like if it's not there, disturb you, but now it's like, can we share some practical things which we can share?
So let me put it this way. So after you came across the...
It's a test for us now, what we are teaching.
So after you came across, right, after you started coming to the Bhagavad Gita class or even came in contact with other devotees who are following, so do you see any change or anything which initially, if you had not done this, right, if for example, as Prabhu says, you are drinking coffee, right? You gave up after some point reading Bhagavad Gita.
Still
gave
up, Prabhu.
Okay. He's a determined
person. I think for me, it is just, you know, sometimes you have these spikes, right? You come out feeling very good about something, or you come out feeling bad about something, whether it's work or something. I can now stand back, and when I feel very good, you try to manage that, as well as when you feel bad, right? It helps you both ways.
Yes.
Yeah, the mental education.
Good, yeah.
So you can step back,
step
and
back
see
little.
From
be
the
detached.
Vision, whatever you have understood or learned, you can see that same situation. So before it was kind of, you see it in a different vision.
That's,
that's what I was saying.
Very good realization,
So anybody had experience like that, different,
any
some situation?
I think it relieve a lot of stress, and especially when I'm very stressed. I mean, because of the chanting, a lot has really helped to kind of just maintain a calm and composure, especially during stressful situations.
Or what about, like, you know, when you deal with your other family members or friends? So how is your relationship now?
Did anybody, like, you know give a statement like, you're such a different person and compared to city months back?
Like
that. that's
not dealing with your in-laws, for example, or anybody like that.
Nobody
will
praise, okay?
Yeah, initially they won't tell anything. Initially, you know, they will say, what are you doing? Why are you spending so much time? That's what you will hear. But slowly that will change,
yeah,
for sure.
But if we feel like, okay, instead of, in this situation I would have gotten angry before,
yes,
but now I'm not getting angry, it means okay, I'm in the right track.
Yes.
I'm like, they
no,
don't have to tell.
No, those are all the practical, those are all the practical points actually. Initially, you know, you get easily agitated, right? Some small minor thing, you know, easily, like, you know, bust out. But now, you know, you calm down and talk to others also, at least, you know, something.
My cholesterol has come down.
Wow. Very good. Prabhu? Mataji, you want to share something?
You are in association, right?
Yeah.
For some time now.
Actually, like, a couple of months back, kids went to India, right? That time, actually, before it was, before the thing, situation, if it would have happened, then I would have not accepted it.
Mm.
Because then, like when they went couple of weeks back, then I thought, okay, Krishna's plan is this, so why shouldn't I accept this?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, by thinking that, I felt like, okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they also had
very
a nice
good
time and they
yeah
came back, right? Yeah, very good.
It's
very,
that's
nice,
very good. Taking shelter.
Yeah. What else, Prabhu? Naresh Prabhu, Mataji, Swami Prabhu.
I'm so far below the waist that I see everybody going.
And I think I've become more peaceful. And I'd like to say a story that you were saying. I used to be more, I actually pay more attention towards what I say and how my own involvement in the situation is than earlier it used to be. And kind of, it's nicer.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, today we went.
I'm also like more accepting, like, you know, this is what Krishna wanted. Like, you know, sudden changes, you know, in work, a lot of things happen. Boss suddenly changes the project on you, and you kind of, instead of becoming agitated and stuff, that's okay. Like, if I'm not doing this, I'll do something else. So if that's not
it's not end of life.
So there is no attachment with that. Which is a big thing. Like, in a work environment like Microsoft, we actually end up with a lot of shifts.
Yeah.
So those things don't bother me much.
Mm.
They don't bother me a little bit, but not as much.
You just treat them as if these are material.
Yes. Yeah, today we went to doctor and then something happened and they were telling like, what is it? She was suggesting something. We were like, it's okay, I'm not getting proper sleep. Then she was telling, do you want to take sleeping pill? Then we were like so hesitant. Then we were saying, okay, it's okay, we'll wait for some time. When everything stabilizes, then maybe, you know, automatically I'll get proper sleep. Then couple of questions she asked, by the end of it, she said, you guys are good. Then I was like, oh, what do you mean? Because everything is going nice, that's why you're saying like that. She said, no, you guys are very practical, very not so anxious, very cool-minded. So that makes it easy.
Like how you approach things.
Yeah, it's and you know that, you know that nothing, not much is in your control. She was saying like that. Then immediately I remembered, it's all Krishna actually. We wouldn't have been like this earlier. It's see how people can see Krishna consciousness and appreciate. I was thinking like that, you know, they are appreciating Krishna consciousness. So, that's some.
So, the general tendency is, any situation, we immediately try to solve it. That's our general tendency. We jump in. And with our own, you know, whatever intelligence we have, like a tiny intelligence, we try to solve things, put together. Instead of that, you know, if you just, actually that's a Vedic way also, right? You know, Aryan, one of the qualities of Aryans is, before you say anything or if you do anything, you should think before you say also.
What's the consequence of my
consequence, or, you know, will it hurt somebody if I want to, if maybe husband and wife. If in some, you know, odd argument or something, if you say something, actually it said that, you know, the words, actually the Arivilas Prabhu was only telling. I think, yeah, of course he would have heard from Prabhu.
Yeah, women does.
Yeah, so he was telling, you know, women are like elephant. You know why?
He'll remember for a long time.
That is true. So,
that's true.
Elephants never forget.
They never forget.
Memory like, absolutely.
No, they never.
You said.
No, really, that is true. So that's why Arivilasko was telling.
Never say.
You should never say single or rude word to any ladies, any women particularly. No, if you are married, even if you have a kid, not even a single rude or harsh word. We should never use it, because that word will stay forever with them. And someday it will come out. It can, cause.
He said.
So the women can become yoga maya or mahamaya. So if you treat them nicely, they will become yoga maya. Basically, they will help you
come closer to Krishna.
That's a spiritual part. If you don't treat them properly, they become Mahamaya. What happens to Mahamaya? What does she do?
They make your life miserable.
So that's what Arivilas Prabhu was sharing in one of the class.
Yoga Maya means what again?
Yoga Maya. Yeah.
She brings you closer to Krishna. Like
yoga
this
maya
Radharani.
Yoga Maya is Radharani.
So basically there are two energies.
Radharani, Mahamaya is Durga Devi.
So they control the whole. Like in case of, we discussed, Yashoda Mata. So Yoga Maya was covering her. Without that Yoga Maya, the veil or screen, she couldn't reciprocate in that past time. So since it was covered, she had that loving.
And similarly, we are also covered with Mahamaya. That's why we can't see Krishna as Supreme. See, both of us, Yashoda Mata and we also are not seeing Krishna as Supreme. But she is covered by Yoga Maya and seeing Krishna as not supreme, exchange rasa. We are covered by Mahamaya and seeing Krishna as ordinary person.
Yeah.
So that's how it is. It's two coverings.
So it's harsh word, right? There is some little old Tamil couplet. There is that. Basically, what it says is even as if you get your skin burnt, it will go away.
Yes.
But once you let the harsh word out, that scar will never go.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. Words are mightier than matter.
So from next section, 11 to 30, so Krishna is going to now give the foundation for spiritual life. Basically the spiritual knowledge. But you know, what is soul? What are the qualities of soul? That Arjuna, like all these living entities are the soul. So, you should not worry about killing them. All this is, so now we are getting into the core philosophy.
Yeah, so here from this verse, the real philosophy starts.
So all the background is done, observing the armies is done, setting the scene is done. All for this sake, to hear from Krishna this knowledge.
The Bharata word is used very, everywhere, to refer to the
different people. Yes. So Dhritarashtra was also in the dynasty of?
Bharat Maharaj.
So it's used multiple times for different persons. Whoever is in that lineage, they use it like that. Right?
So how do we know in this context who it's being referred to?
Sanjaya is saying.
And he's telling to. Sanjaya is talking. So that means he's pointing to Dhritarashtra. He's explaining to Dhritarashtra. The previous verse, right? He's continuing from the previous verse. Text 11, we'll recite together.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Asocyan Anvasocasvam Prajna Vadam Sadashase Katasu Nagatasumsha Nanu Sochanti Pandita. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Asocyanandvasochasvam Prajnavadamscha Bhashase Vatasu Navatasumscha Nanu Sochanti Pandita.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. the Lord at once took the position of the teacher and chastised the student, calling him indirectly a fool. The Lord said, "You're talking like a learned man, but you know, you do not know that one who is learned, one who knows what is body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition. As explained in the later chapter, it will be clear that knowledge means to know matter and spirit and the controller of both." Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics and sociology. But he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul and the supreme is even more important than religious formalities. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have cursed himself as a very learned man. As he did not happen to be a very learned man, he was consequently lamenting for something which was unworthy of lamentation. The body is born and destined to be vanished today or tomorrow. Therefore, the body is not as important as the soul. One who knows this is actually learned, for him there is no cause for lamentation, regardless of the condition of the material body.
So, this is the starting, right? So, what's the main point from this verse? So, it's the ABCD verse. So, actually, ABCD of spirituality starts from here.
I think they're reiterating like what we did in the last two, prior to the previous one, which was like knowledge and wealth really doesn't entangle you from the material world. Right? So, being learned and all really doesn't help you a lot unless you know about the difference between the matter body and the soul.
Yeah. And mainly Krishna is saying, you know, Arjuna gave all these philosophies, everything, as if, you know, I know everything, like learned person. So you're posing as, while speaking learned words, you're posing as a learned person, but what is real learning? Real learning is the one who knows about soul and the matter. But you're lamenting. That means you're identifying with body, right? You're in bodily platform, you're lamenting. Then why are you posing as a learned person? So, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for living nor for the dead. So, if you are really learned, you wouldn't be in this situation. So, you are just posing like learned. So, that's what Prabhupada says. You are indirectly is calling him a fool. You acted as if you know everything, but you are actually a fool.
And here the knowledge of matter is basically the material world, right?
Yes, yes. So whenever we find ourselves, you know, lamenting for material things, we should understand, you know, we are also like this. We don't have complete realization of spiritual knowledge. We may know theoretically to some extent, but no, many times Prabhu chastises me. No, giving class is different, following it is different. So, you know, he knows the reality. So it's always, we are still learning. So... So what is real knowledge according to the purport? Knowledge means?
Spiritual knowledge, not related.
Knowledge means to know matter, both spirit and the controller of both.
So that's the body, the soul and the controller.
Yeah. Matter, spirit and controller of both. That's why Hari Vilas Prabhu in his class he was telling, right? We should also know about the material world. We should also know what will entangle us so that we can be away from that. See, somebody may say, you know, why we should study. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says about how he created the material, what are the elements of the material world, and so many verses about modes of material nature, how it acts, how it entangles. So why we need to know? Because we want to get out of them, right? So why do we need to know more about them? Because when we know how they act, we know how to, you know, try to get away from them. The purpose is to get out of them. So that's why we need to know about matter also. See, somebody was saying, right? Material, you know, we think it's material things and But sometimes you should also know enough of material. Like, for example, we need to know what's happening now in political situation, or little bit like, okay, is it going to be, you know, city is going to do something to my house or whatever, right? So I know how to deal with it, at least to the extent of that.
They say to know your enemies better.
That's true. Yeah, correct. Yeah, actually in third chapter or second chapter, Krishna talks about that enemy lust, and he tells the places where that enemy resides so that, you know, you can conquer that. It resides in senses, mind and intelligence. And then he gives a solution how to conquer that. So, you know, where the enemy resides, you know how powerful is the enemy, then you can tackle it.
So also the first sentence, so Prabhupada says, Lord took one supposition of the teacher and chastised the student. So, so that's how the, once, you know, the guru and student relationship. So once we take initiation or anything, right, disciple, so it's always expected that the guru always chastises. Chastises means basically correcting us. So we should never get, you know, angry or anything, saying, you know, why, you know. It's that's why it's a different, in the material world, if anybody scolds or anything, we want to get them, right, get them back. We, you know. But in spirituality, it's different. So whenever guru or anybody superior, for example, like Arivilas Prabhu, comes and chastises, for some good reason, he has something for us to learn. That's the only time we, you know, I don't think any of you have come across still working with Arivilas Prabhu in the kitchen.
I had the experience that I should not meet this. I should not get in close to Harivilas Prabhu. Every time he sees me, he's fighting. He's telling me something bad.
No, the initial stages, so I was not, because I didn't know, because I was dealing in the same, how we deal outside, right, outside also. But it's very different when it comes to, so they don't unnecessarily chastise or do anything, like, you know, say things unnecessarily. If they say something, that means for us, there is something to learn. It's just our, how much we are aware of things to, you know, to get, learn from that particular, you know, scenario. Yeah, it's very amazing. So that's what, you know, so now Arjuna, he didn't oppose or anything, you know, he's just, he's ready to listen more carefully. Why Krishna is saying, you know, learn.
See, while Arjuna was telling all these things about, you know, so many reasons, everything, if Krishna would have said, you know, you are fool, Arjuna wouldn't have accepted. But because Arjuna himself voluntarily took a submissive position, he is ready to listen whatever Krishna says. The first thing Krishna says is, you know, you are a fool. And he previously gave so many things, right? Miserly weakness, because of this, you know, all these things he told, which is chastising him.
So that's one function of the disciple. He's ready to accept any scoldings or, you know, any
submissive
chastisement. Basically. That's one of the qualities, no? We have to have that submissive quality, to listen to others. So that's how the spiritual life starts, actually, to listening to others. So only when you are submissive, you can really understand and, you know, open to listen to others. If you are not submissive, you will never understand the subject or the topic. You will never understand. It will, because it's always in challenging.
The same thing you were saying. Arjuna argued that the religious principle should be given more importance than politics and sociology, but he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul and supreme is even more important than religious formularies. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he shouldn't have posed himself as a very learned man.
So in this, there is one nice example, Prabhupada quotes, like real learning, right? Or real knowledge. So there was a Chief Minister, his name was Sanatan Goswami. Have you heard about six Goswamis?
Mm.
I don't, from Bengal, right? Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, so they are the brothers. They are from Bharati Sampradaya, like India, like Karnataka. That's the highest, you know, the Brahmin, like, you know, Sampradaya they have. So they are from that background. So they moved to Bengal to work under Nawab, there is a Muslim ruler, Bengal, he was ruling. So they moved there and they became, you know, they grew up in positions in the kingdom and they became one of the chief minister for him and one of the, I think, finance something they became. So they were so educated, so learned actually in all philosophy, Vedic scriptures, even they were good in Arabic, right? No, Sanskrit, everything, scriptures. So at some point they gave up their services or they gave up their world because they wanted to go and surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they wanted to take initiation from him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they went and, you know, they Sanatan Goswami, he fell at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, saying, all the people, you know, in the village kingdom, they call me very expert, knowledge and learned man, but I'm a real fool. That was his... why did he say that? Because
I do not know who I am. I do not know that I'm soul.
He said, I know everything, like, you know, all the scriptures, everything, but people call me so, you know, learned man, but I'm a big number one fool. So that's the nature of a disciple.
Mm.
So, because of course, in that Sanatan Goswami said that I don't know what, I cannot differentiate body and soul. So I need to learn that. That's the ABCD of spiritual life. That's where it starts from.
So one practical thing about this is, like, for example, if we deal with our spiritual masters, right? So they are trying to use the technology, whatever, in service of Krishna. So they also, you know, use word or, you know, computers, everything. But they, because they may not be so technologically proficient, if there are any issues with computers, some of the disciples who are, you know, software developers, they will help them. Right? At that time, if we start thinking, you know, this problem I can only solve, my spiritual master is depending on me, we are finished. Because this so-called material knowledge, maybe they may not, Krishna may probably give them that knowledge if needed. But it's not needed for their, somebody's disciple is meant for that, to help them. But what they have is a realization of the spirit soul, that is what they can only give us. Right? We cannot at that point say, you know, I'm above you. So we, especially if we have the good fortune or this thing to deal in that, so we should be so careful that, you know, I know my position is always a disciple, even if, you know, I'm saying, you know, these are the steps to take a snapshot or whatever. It's not that, you know, I became a boss in this context. Actually, yeah, that reminds me of a very nice incident of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada was, you know, in dictaphone, he was giving the translations, right? And then disciples were transcribing them into these things and printing books, because he wanted to print, give translations as fast as possible. So, at one incident, Prabhupada repeated one statement three times. So then, grammatically, it didn't make sense. Something, why it has to repeat three times. So one, and of course, Prabhupada wanted people to edit, like professionally English, you know, professors to edit, because he is going to present this to English audience. He didn't want, out of his humility, he didn't want, you know, any so-called grammatical mistakes, so that people can take it as authorized, you know, authoritative literature. So then that person came back and saying, Prabhupada, it doesn't seem appropriate, you know, three times we're repeating the same sentence. Then Prabhupada said, you know, I asked you to edit in subject matter of English, you know, this is the philosophy point, so, you know, this is how it should be. So even though grammatically it didn't make sense, but actually with respect to this thing which Prabhupada wants to convey, it's the right thing to do. So there, you know, and Prabhupada used to be very good at detecting, you know, when the disciple is getting puffed up, you know, what he needs, and, you know, when, what to do to, you know, keep him on this thing. So that's the duty of a spiritual master. Yeah, next.
Here, there is, they say, these are the things which is unworthy of lamentation.
Hmm.
Right? So, what is worthy of lamentation? Is it explained
later? Basically, anything about soul is worthy.
Worthy of lamentation.
But anything about body, we should not be so much worried about.
Why
because
is
we,
anything about soul worthy of lamentation? Why should we lament at all?
Like, for example, you know, that we lost the relationship with Krishna, right? So we should be worried about it, so that, you know, we do something about it. If you say, you know, okay, I don't know who is Krishna, but it's okay, it doesn't matter.
Itself is a negative word, right?
No, everything, see, everything can be transcendentally used. Everything can be used in Krishna service. The lamentation for Krishna is actually transcendental.
Yes.
It's not going to take you into depression. It's going to inspire you to come closer to Krishna. So it's now under Yoga Maya potency. Rather than Mahamaya, which is, see, generally lamentation is mode of ignorance, right? Where, you know, you sit in one corner, you don't want to talk to anybody, you know, you want to take maybe coffee or, you know, sleep. That is material influence of lamentation, right? That is ignorance. But this lamentation, when applied for, you know, okay, I'm not doing my service properly. No, I'm not able to get up properly. I'm not able to chant properly. If you lament like that, that's good. Then you can make improvement. But not that you keep lamenting and not do anything, then it goes into the other side. But you lament and sincerely pray, you know, Krishna help me, you know, I'm in such a fallen state. You have given me everything, but I'm not able to do. Give me that strength. So if you pray like that, you know, that puts us in the real state of humility. It's like, you know, I'm helpless. That lamentation is good.
Yeah, action should be there. So when we lament, right? If you miss some service, for example. So if you lament, oh, I miss my service. But the next step should be the action. I will go with more, you know, eagerness. I will go and do it, you know, more service or spend more time or catch up service. So that kind of lamentation is good. Take it in a positive context, you know.
Or lamentation that, you know, my relatives are not taking up spirituality. Like, you know, I can see them, they are suffering. But they are not able to understand that, you know, this is the solution. Like, for example, my parents and everything. I can see, you know, every day and night my dad says, you know, I don't know, that's all it is. I know I'm not going to die like this, but what to do, life is like this. Like, he tells all these statements. I know exactly what he should do, but I cannot tell, you know, he is not ready to listen. So what I feel so pity about myself. What should I do in this case? I just pray that, you know, at least I should do my things properly, that somehow they get benefited. So that lamentation is good, you know, we are caring for their spiritual welfare.
We can stop it. Here the Pandita is like it's not the Brahman, right? Because Brahman is also the knowledge.
Yeah.
But this is more in a derogatory sense, is that what it is?
No, this is also in that sense only. That's why Krishna is saying you're talking like a learned, but you're not behaving like a learned. You're talking like a person who knows everything,
but
you're
wrong things.
Exactly.
What is that verse, Pandita Samadarshini?
Oh.
It's okay, we can go.
It should be in the index.
It's okay, we can quote later.
And so this Arjuna argued that religious principle should be given more importance than politics or sociology. I'm just trying to kind of relate to which are the statements that he made. Because
exactly,
you know,
I think it's the relationship. That's what I think of
religious. Because he said
he was talking
about
Dharma
because
Shastra.
He was doing Dharma Shastra, using Dharma Shastra in order to refrain from fighting.
Yes.
Right?
Basically, at one point he says, right, you know, forgiving on religious grounds is better than fighting for.
Fighting your enemies.
Yes.
Even, okay.
So he was. That's a Dharma Shastra and Artha Shastra. He was giving that, no, this you know very well. Every time you quote this Dharma Shastra, Artha Shastra,
he is using all the different.
Yeah, I do. I can see my dog.
518.
Okay. 518. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne. Okay, we can look at this verse.
Yeah, that's
518. 5th chapter, 18th verse. I don't know the verse.
245.
Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmani Gavi Hastini, Suricheva Svapakicha, Pandita Samadarshini. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. So these are spiritually situated persons. They see everything as soul. They don't see based on the body, you know, he's a Brahmana, he's a cow, he's an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater. They see all of them are souls, and they got the bodies according to their desires and karma. And, you know, and respect them at that state and try to bring them as much closer to Krishna.
So that's real Pandita.
Yeah, that is the Pandita in a spiritual self-realized platform. It's a huge person.
So the text 12 is pretty big. So I think if we start, we'll not be able to finish.
This is one of the toughest things to do, right? Lament neither for the living nor the dead.
Until, if you have a strong, you know,
one statement
understanding
itself,
yeah,
can achieve.
Of course, even
yeah.
we are actually even
yeah I was
the practical life, I will tell one thing, you know, the one, even I was following all this chanting, right, I was already initiated, I was doing, so my brother had a fight with my mom, you know, right after marriage, it's in, if you are not on spiritual, this thing, understanding, on the material level, because they don't follow, so it's always fight, you know, because he has his own wife, kid, my mom stays, some misunderstanding, right, so he told something, then, my mom, when I spoke to her, she told me.
And she started crying.
I got so angry, you know. It's just out of control. It's until we practice, you know, like really sincerely, you know, until we understand real philosophy. That's why I keep telling her. So knowledge is different. What's the other word?
Realization. Practice.
Practice. Yeah, Sanskrit.
Jnana, Vijnana.
Jnana and Vijnana. So knowledge is very different.
See, that I know.
And Vijnana is very different. Like, you know, we can talk a lot of things. That's what I'm telling. We are just, you know, we are talking in the class because we hear, we write down, we talk. But when it comes to practical, the application, we completely agree that we are lacking a lot. So
because see, these are very deep core things, right? No, this requires core transformation.
Yeah.
So that takes time, lot of time.
It takes a lot of time. So as you said, that one line, yeah, it's pretty...
So that reminds me of one incident about Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Rompad Maharaj shared about this principle of, you know, how Prabhupada exhibited lamenting neither for living nor for dead. Very nice. I hope I can recollect the details. So once Prabhupada was going in the car, he was sitting in the next to the driver's seat. And driver is there and next behind somebody was there. And they passed through a very horrible accident. Like so much, you know, the body is cut into pieces everywhere, blood everywhere on the road. Everybody is assembled obviously and they were watching and all those things. And people back, devotees behind the scene, they were like completely watching and, oh, what's happening, like this. They were very, you know, this thing. But Prabhupada was sitting there and was just chanting on his beats and softly chanting. That's all. He didn't even, you know, didn't even get disturbed, pass through the car. So somebody may think, you know, he is very callous, like, you know, he doesn't have compassion that, you know, something happened. But he has the real compassion that, you know, these are the souls. Because of their conditioning or because of their entrapment, somehow, you know, they got such a cruel passing away. Right? So to address that, he is dedicating his whole life. Doesn't mean he is callous. Because he knows that's a problem. So to address that, to help that, he's dedicating his whole life for all the people who could take it. But at the same time, he knows if somebody is against Krishna, this is where they end up. At that time, he should be detached. Right? That's what Rompath Maharaj also says, a principle called detached caring. Like for example, if, you know, especially spiritual master, so many disciples, right? And everybody is a different level, everybody has different surrender. Spiritual master has certain principles and, you know, he tries to tell them in a way that they can understand. But at some point or the other, it's their free will. You cannot say, I told this, from now on you should do like this. Otherwise, you know, I get agitated. No. The principle is detached caring. So we give all the love, at the same time we don't expect that they are going to take it. So that's what the children especially we experience, right? How much ever we tell, do this, they don't do. So that's when, you know, detachment should be there. Okay, we give all the love, but we are detached to the results. When they do, what they do, it's up to them.
So no more test?
No more test?
No more test. You don't expect to train it from us.
Yeah, we'll be detached. If you don't, some of you didn't write, I think, all still. And
yeah,
we didn't get first chapter homeworks.
I remember you telling it's okay to get angry with kids, to put them in the right direction.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Especially with boys. You should, you know, you should really train them properly. Otherwise, they don't listen to you.
Okay.
Will do, Chapa? It's okay.